gets his phone up here to record it. So 100 reasons and ways to use gospel tracts. No, I do not have 100 points in my message. But on the back of this pamphlet, and I can say there are more over there, did you know that George Whitefield, who was significant in the early years of the United States and revival that took place, George Whitefield, a preacher of the Great Awakening, was saved by a gospel tract. And after reading it, he wrote, "God showed me that I must be born again or be damned." And for him, it came out of a gospel tract. Had he heard other presentations of the gospel? I don't know. But he gives credit for that gospel tract. And then the great missionary to China, who opened up what we would know, for, as you look at the history of missions, modern missions, Hudson Taylor was also saved by reading a gospel tract. So the place of tracts is, in a sense, indisputable. Now, there was a man who had a tract ministry, and he rode his bicycle from house to house distributing tracts. At one particular door, he knocked 6 times before a man answered. And from the story that I'm relaying, it was not a gentle, okay? He must have been pounding on the door. And a man answered the door, grabbed the tract, slammed the door shut in his face. He just stood there. But this bicycling track distributor didn't give up. And so a week later, he returned to that same house and knocked on the door. It was quickly opened, and he was asked to come in. And the man in the home took the track evangelist upstairs to the attic. And when he was up in the attic, he saw a rope and a noose hanging there. And the man relayed the story that when he first knocked, that he had the noose around his neck and was ready to kick the stool he was standing on. But the persistence, he said, of whoever was knocking at the door, he took the noose off, went down, wanted to see who it was. And when he got the track, he went back upstairs to the attic, sat down and read it, and he got saved. Mm-hmm. And he began to trust the Lord. Another man who was ready to jump overboard from a cruise ship, standing at the rail, ready to leap, in the deck above, another passenger was given a gospel tract. He didn't like it. He tore it up, threw the pieces overboard. The man, ready to commit suicide, saw the pieces coming down. And the one piece that he picked up had 2 words written on it, typed on it: "God loves." And the man didn't jump overboard, but got saved. Friends, there's a place for a tract ministry. These simple, silent messengers can make a difference between life and death, eternity in heaven or hell, for many people who get them. Oh, I'm well aware that so many tracts are given when you leave, probably thrown in the trash can, for example, at a store you may be shopping at. I've handed them out to people coming and going from the mall. We used to have a tract distribution ministry at the mall in at Walmart in Olean. And then after a few years, a no solicitation policy was put in place, and we were not allowed to stand there and distribute tracts anymore. But occasionally, as I'm going in and out, I'll have a tract with me and just personally give it to an individual. I realize that many of them just get thrown away. But they're given out so that we can fulfill the Great Commission, which tells us to go into all the world and preach the gospel. And that very term, preach, in the minds of so many people, causes them to just immediately go to a minister or a missionary. And I'm not that, so how do I do the Great Commission? One of the ways, a very easy way, is by the use of gospel tracts. A Chicago businessman took his brother to get a train in South Chicago. And while at the station, he took a tract titled The New Birth. It was on a rack of various literature they had at the station at that time. The man was saved. He ended up leaving the liberal church that he was in and going to a Bible teaching church. A lady in Colorado visited her grandchildren and on a Memorial Day, and she received the tract and she was saved. And that particular tract publisher, you could list your church when you ordered tracts, you could list your church with them. And then if they ever got a response, they would notify you. And they got a response and sent the lady the name of the church, and the pastor met her, and he later said she had the clearest salvation testimony of anyone that I've heard regarding from gospel tracts. So there's a place for tract ministries. It's a ministry. A lot of people say, what can I do? You know, a church only needs so many teachers. Now, we have teachers and substitutes, but we only have 2, 4, 6, 8 situations where that's true. Okay? The teams often just combine, like this morning. We don't have designated subs for them, and if both of them aren't available to combine, then I'll teach. A church, you know, there's only so many teachers that you need. And, you know, you only have one church clerk and 2 or 3 deacons, in our case, 3 trustees. And so, you know, where do I serve? What can I do? I don't want to work in the kitchen. I'm thinking it's a man speaking, okay? And so there is some limitation, but every one of us can, okay, use tracts. A person in out of a church like ours could have a tract ministry on their own, just going from door to door and passing out a tract. Sometimes the people aren't home. Now, you can't put it in the mailbox. That's illegal. It could bring a fine to the church that's printed on the back, okay? And the postage could be charged. Now, if you're talking one tract, that's no big deal. But if a person has a tract ministry, they could go door to door passing out these tracts, just like the cyclist in my first story. And so you can have a tract ministry. Look at all the country roads we have. Now, you don't have to use a bicycle, okay? You can use whatever means of transportation you want. But to go from to every home in Allegheny County and put a tract there, a tract ministry, is what that sort of, our church has a tract ministry, that we have a tract rack and encourage their use. But unless we have servants to pass them out, it doesn't happen. Are we doing as much as could be done? Are we doing as much as should be done? The most educated or uneducated, the most sophisticated or unsophisticated people can use gospel tracts easily and effectively. And all people at whatever status in life should use tracts, because a doctor, for example, Christian doctor, he has access to people, not only his patients, but other doctors that you and I wouldn't have access to. You work in a factory, a plant, you'll see people there that I'll never come across. And so you have opportunity to distribute to people. So we all have a place and can do it. Now, Later in the lesson, I'm going to get to some do's and don'ts about distributing tracts, okay? But at this point, I'm looking at Mark chapter 16 and verse 15. Very familiar. I know I could just quote it, but I want to turn to it. Mark chapter 16 and verse 15. And he said unto them, Jesus speaking, Jesus said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Now, go into all the world. Well, I can't go into all the world. You know, I'm not called to be a missionary. I just live in Rushford, okay? And where do you live? What's your town? Shelby. Shelby, okay, I knew that. I got it written down. But, all right, Michael and Tanya are in Shelby. Well, you want to know something? I don't get to Rushford. But she's in Rushford. I don't get to Shelby, okay? But they're in Shelby. And so when it says go into all the world, you or I as an individual is not going to go into all the world, but we are in the world and we are part of the body of Christ that fulfills this, go ye into all the world. So you have, may I use a play on the word, you have you in your world, Rushford. I have in my world, Olean. My neighbors are a prayer burden and a concern. And we're giving a witness to them. Now, because we have a long-term contract, I'm not, and I don't advise this anyway, but I'm not buttonholing my neighbors. I've never gone to them, knocked on the door, been invited in, and said, let me open my Bible and show you the plan of salvation, show you how to get saved. I have a long-term involvement. I'm able to, what I call, plow the ground, build a relationship. And I hear from them, my grandmother's sick, my mother's sick, I'll pray for you. People appreciate prayer. And then when you say that, you have to do it, okay? You have to do it. And there's times where the setting was such as I was able to say, well, can I pray for your mother? We would just stand there in the driveway and I would pray for the lady's mother. And you build a rapport, you build a relationship. And then when you give a gospel tract, seasonal tracts are good, like Christmas time, okay? I gave out tracts when I was shopping. I shop, okay? I only have one person on my list, okay? And but I shop for her. And so I pass out tracts. And this year, there seemed to be an unusual appreciation for the tract. Here's something that talks about Christmas and Jesus. And I've had responses like, oh, wow, well, thank you. I appreciate that. The usual comment is, oh, okay, yeah. You know, may not even thank you. And I always tell them, you know, you take this home and read it. You don't expect them to read it on their work or not. Might they want to read it on their break? You know, they may do that. But I don't need to stand there and say, read this on your break or read this in your car before you leave the parking lot. You know, they'll figure that out. I just let them know that I don't expect them to read it on while they're working. And so go into all the world. We're to do that. And this is a job that is true for every Christian going into the world. And so we can use tracts to fulfill that commission. The job of the spreading the gospel is not just for people in full-time Christian vocation, which would be like ministers and missionaries. There just aren't enough of them, okay? That the job of giving the gospel to all the world wasn't given just to them. It was given to all of us as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, there's two principles I want to give that are worth considering. The first one is in Hebrews chapter 6. And it is a matter of laboring in love. Now, in Hebrews chapter 6, there is a particular context. but I'm looking at the matter of laboring in love. And it is pleasing to God when we labor in love, not only in the specific context this verse is, but it would be in any context. Like, God only wants laboring in love in this context, you know. Anything else that we do, we don't have to do it in love. No, that don't make sense, all right? And that's true whenever you hear a verse applied. It may be applied in a context different, but if it's a principle, a truth that exists, then it would be applicable in any situation. All right, Hebrews 6:10. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love. Now the context here, which ye have showed toward his name, in that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister. So this is something that when you do it to another believer in Christ, that it God appreciates it, and he sees it as a labor of love. But he would see it as a labor of love when you give a gospel tract to somebody. And, you know, most situations we won't know the outcome of all the tracts that we distribute, we won't know the outcome until we get to heaven. There are only a handful of all the millions, literally millions, of gospel tracts that have gone out over the ages. There's only a handful, like the stories that I read.
That's right.
Okay? You may have to give, well, I'll give you an example of this as we move along here. But you may have to pass out 10,000 tracts before one person would get saved. No, that's a lot of work. Yeah, but isn't it worth it for that guy's soul? For that lady's eternity? And they'd get born again? Because you labored to pass out 10,000 tracts and you'd never know it? Until you get to heaven? And if there's this kind of communication when we get to heaven, you know, the Bible isn't real specific about it, but I like to think that when we get to heaven, somebody would come up to us and say, is your name Roger Haynes? Yeah. Well, you know, on such and such a day, you gave out a tract to me. And I took it home and read it. And you know, I didn't get saved that day, but it started me to think about eternity. The end result was, and then whatever the details would be for that person. Is it not worth it? We say that the value of a soul, you can't count or measure the value of a soul. Oh, with 10,000 tracts? And I never see any results? That's why our track rack doesn't need constant refilling. Because, and listen, it's not unique to our church. This is the case in 95% of the churches. And that's just a figure I threw out there, whatever the actual figure would be. And I don't know if there is a statistic for it, that use tracts effectively. Most have the rack, and occasionally people pick one up and take them along. But in most cases, they don't get used. I know in our situation, I try to put tracts in there that are very specific and unique. And when you use tracts, that's another one to use. I'm getting ahead of myself, so let me move along. So we see laboring in love, and then 2 Corinthians chapter 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. In 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6, we need to labor in love and we need to be generous in our use of tracts. 9:6, but this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. And he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. And so, our task is to spread the word. Listen to me now. God's task is to bring them to himself in salvation. So we give out 10,000 tracts and we never even hear of the one person that got saved. Listen, we fulfilled our responsibility. We fulfilled what God commands us to do, to spread the word. spread the word. We don't have to see the results. How much do we love Jesus Christ? Do we love him enough that we'll faithfully serve him and work for him? The work I'm speaking of today is the use of gospel tracts. And you've got to teach yourself. You've got to train yourself. Listen, I know who I'm talking to. I'm talking to myself. If I could stand up here and teach this and sit down there with you, I understand. In the door of my car, I love the pockets that they put in the doors, okay? I like lots of pockets. I like nooks and crannies. Anyway, I have a track wallet. And if anybody needs one, I'll be glad to give you one. All it is the plastic cover to a monthly planner. You pull the calendar part out and throw it away. Use it if you want, but pull it out. And now you've got a place to insert tracks. And if you happen to get an oversized track, well, you usually can trim it, okay? So it'll fit in your track wallet. But I have that in the door of my car. But 9 times out of 10, or 11 times out of 10, you say, there is no such a thing. I know, but I'm making a point. I forget. I'm going to the store, pull that track wallet out and get a track out. And I keep them there so they don't get dog-eared and bent, okay? But I forget. We need to train ourselves. We need to be diligent about spreading the word. Now, if you drive in my car, often like in the truck, you'll see I took one of these, you know, pincher clips where you pinch it, and I drilled a hole in the dash, and I screwed this clip there. So I clip my notes there, okay? And so I'm going to put you clip a track there. These pop-up things, you put in the back of phones, okay, to hold it. Well, I had one of them, and then after a while, I didn't use it because when I put phone in the pocket, that thing would always catch, and so I don't use it anymore. But boy, the dash mount for that is beautiful. You can even stick something this big in there and it'll hold it. Okay? And so, what am I saying? I know you're not all as OCD as I am. I understand that. But we have got to train ourselves to use tracts. Whatever works for you is what you need to use. My system may not work for you. You'd probably feel strange screwing a clip on. I wouldn't do that in Sam's cars. He's got a newer car, okay? But my old truck, it didn't matter. Put the screw in, you say, well, what if you sell it? By the time I sell that truck, nobody's gonna be worried about the clip. And I can take it off and all you have is a little hole there. And somebody looks at it and goes, what was that hole from? You know, that gives them something to think about. So, We've got to use tracts, whatever it takes to teach ourselves. And I see the old clock on the wall is moving along. So I need to do, here's some do's about using tracts. Read a tract before you use it.
That's right.
To be sure the message is scriptural and clear. Now, most tracts that we'd have access to are going to be scriptural, but make sure the message is clear. And select tracts appropriate to who you're handing it out to. And, you know, there are tracts that are written in such a way that it would be especially suitable for a clerk in a store. Okay? Now, my son wrote a tract that pastor likes a lot, and it begins by saying, may I talk to you about Jesus? In other words, it's asking permission. And that's a good approach. May I give you a tract that talks about Jesus? And if somebody says no, okay, be nice, be pleasant, thank them anyway, thank you for your time. You should not be rude or snide, like, okay, well, go to hell then if you want. Yeah, I can't imagine any of us doing that. But there are some weirdos out there who that is the kind of response they have. Is it no wonder that when you or I then come along to give a tract to somebody that they don't want it because of that fellow that just acted that way. So be smile, be pleasant, you know, and don't worry about the fact you've done your part in sowing the seed. Seasonal tracts, I've already commented on that, how helpful they are, and many people are open to take a tract that's specifically geared, like Memorial Day, July 4th, you know, tracts that are geared for that. Use clean tracts. Listen, if it's not clean, throw it away. Well, I hate to waste it. 5 to 10 cents a piece is what tracts are. Tract ministry out of Lebanon, Ohio, a church can get them free. Now, whenever I got tracts from them, like when we went to New York City to distribute thousands of tracts, then I would send them a donation, you know, for the tract. And even when I've just personally ordered and just gotten 50 of maybe 6 different titles, when I've gotten tracts for here from that tract ministry, I've sent them a donation because it costs to print them. Somebody's got to donate, and I'm a somebody. So use clean tracts, not dog-eared, attractive. Be sure that there's a return address for further inquiry. Now, some tracts, the way they're written and printed, there's no room. We have a sticker I put on. I have a stamp that I use, but there's no room on some tracts. And so and I never felt it's appropriate to put it on the front. We're not promoting the church, we're promoting Jesus Christ, but you have a local contact. If there's no room for that, there is usually a publisher's information printed where the individual could contact the publisher, and people do that. Now, not most people. Like I say, if you give out 10,000 tracts, there might only be 10 people that would even inquire for more information. So, you know, I'm not living in a dream world when I say people will contact the publisher, people will contact the church, you know. And no, I understand how it works. Smile. Be pleasant. Now listen, don't be standing third person in a line. I'm using a store as an example. Chewing out your kids. Why aren't you behaving yourself? That's a shame. I hate to take you to the store. You never do what I say. Where do we get to the car? Hello, may I give you a gospel tract about Jesus? That didn't work, okay? Or you put your thing on the belt and something goes wrong with the belt and catches one of your bags in the belt, and you fume and fuss about, you know, how this store belt works, and then you want to give them a tract, okay? Now, I only say those sort of things because they do happen. Do I think that you would be like that? I don't think so. But I've never been shopping with you.
Yeah.
I don't see you outside of this setting.
Uh-oh.
Other than we've run into Montgomery's, like down at Walmart, but that's just usually, hey, how are you doing? Yeah, I'm going to get some shopping done, you know. But I don't live with the Montgomery's. I don't live with the Gilberts. I don't live with the Beals. So I don't know how you act and react to these kind of situations. So you just, something like this is what I call a shotgun approach. You just blast out. Now, if you and I are talking personally, now I can use a rifle and hone in specifically on you and the subject, whatever it is we're discussing. So, you know, some things that we shouldn't do, like I say, don't be argumentative, or grumpy. You need a good spirit around a business or a person. Some don'ts about using tracts: do not put tracts or special meeting cards, you know, flyers, in mailboxes. As I said before, it's illegal, and it subjects the church to the postage. So if you've got a mass distribution of church meeting cards going out, and somebody's, you know, walking store house to house and sticking them in a mailbox, that's a no-no. Do not leave tracts in a restaurant without an adequate tip.
That's right.
Now, we've learned that from Pastor. He said that several times. You have to leave an adequate tip. Right now, tipping is typically 15%. Used to be 10%. And you say, I only give the Lord 10%. Well, maybe you ought to be giving him some love offerings also. Okay? And so, quit just tipping the Lord. Leave an adequate tip. A Christian waitress, and I don't know where it was and when it was, but she reported that unsaved waitresses would curse and throw the tracks into the garbage when they were left on the table without a tip.
Yeah, right.
Well, I'm telling them something that could get for eternity. Yeah, but they're never going to read it, because in our country, this matter of tipping is the practice. Do not stuff self-addressed postage-free business. You get a thing that, mail it in the United States and it's postage free. People have put tracks in them and mailed them back to the business. Well, they don't want to pay for an individual's evangelism efforts. And so, that's a no-no. Do not distribute tracks where they're forbidden. Some places have signs forbidding the distribution of handbills. So like at Walmart, you can't stand in the parking lot. We'd send, put 3-4 people down there, one for every lane. And it would pass out tracts as people were coming or going. And you can't do that. Do not litter with tracts. You lay them on a bench, and the wind comes along, blows them off, and it ends up being littering. Now, some ways to use tracts, I've got to insert in when you pay a bill on time. A personal handout, of course. Newspaper evangelism. You watch the paper and there's an obituary. Now, used to be they put addresses in it. They don't do that anymore. So what you have to do is, look up the person's address, and then you could mail them an appropriate tract that would give comfort. Birth is another one. Babies born, again, we don't list in the paper addresses, but you could come up with the address. You say, it takes work. Yeah, that's the whole point of it. Systematically cover a city or a town, either by mail or door-to-door. Oh, boy, what else? When you're at parades, we used to go down to the Santa Claus parade in Olean, when Santa Claus came. And we'd pass out gospel tracts, and it was about Christmas. And you know what we'd do? We'd put a candy cane with each one. You say, that cost. Yeah, it did. But, everybody took it. They had this, and the candy cane was stapled or taped on the front. And so that's one way that you can use tracts. All right? Thank you for your time. And it's no surprise, but I'm over time. I don't know what to do with it, or I would.
Now you've just told the world that.